Praise you, Lord. How I'm able to be with you guys this morning. What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. I am so happy to be with you guys in the middle of disaster. I mean, it is such a disaster out here. There are miracles, though, but I will share, you know, with you guys starting out what is happening here. I'm only able to be with you guys because we have a generator that we really haven't had to use in the past since we've been here, like we are right now. So we made some mistakes yesterday and almost killed me. But, you know, Dennis's heart was in the right place for sure. We have under the porch where we kept it stored, the generator. And then he thought he was being smart, you know, by having, because we had so much ice falling yesterday. And so he had the back end of the thing on the outside of the house. You know, and the other side was under the house. But I kept having terrible things happen. Yesterday, like dizziness and headaches and all. And I kept telling him, I'm like, something's not right, you know. And, you know, so he finally moved it outside of the house, but it was still happening. And so I was like, I'm going to have to go over to the office, you know, which we do have gas heat over there, and we do have it on, but there's no power. But at least, you know, it keeps everything heated in there. And so finally he just shut it off, so we just went to bed. And when I went to bed, it was horrible. I won't even tell you. So I came in the living room and he opened up the window. And we figured it out, okay, because we did some research before we cut it off and found out that you have to have it 20 foot away from the house to where it won't blow back into the house. So he just shut it off and said, I'll fix it in the morning. So we opened the window and I was able to get a good night's sleep. And I survived. I'm still alive. I'm just happy to be alive. I'm telling you, because that's just one aspect of the storm we've been going through. But I made it through the night, and we closed the window, and he did get up this morning and moved it at 5 o'clock this morning, moved it to 20 foot away back by the creek where it's blowing away from the house, and now it's much easier breathing in here. We had no idea that the winds would just blow it right back in the house, you know, and that's what was choking me and stuff. But anyway, so that danger was curtailed. And then another danger we have is we're worried about our animals. We have 5 goats and 30 chickens. And the goats, he made a separate, you know, little house for them and covered it and everything. So they've got hay in the bottom and, you know, so they're okay. I mean, they've got a pond, but the kind of pond that we have here is a running spring water. I mean, they couldn't have better water. But since it's a running spring, you know, it's not froze over. So they still have their water source and plenty of hay, so that's good. Well, then, the chickens is what we're worried about, because as long as the goats stay out of the elements, they should be okay. If they go out to just eat and come back, they should be okay. But the chickens, poor things, because of all this ice, trees have been popping and falling down like crazy, falling off in the road, and we had 2 trees fall on our chicken coop. We had one of the big trees that we knew one day would fall on it. Listen, this is a miracle. The sucker fell down, not even a hair away from it. I mean, right on the edge where it could have just killed all them chickens. It was one of them big trees. But it, God, the angels had to move that tree to where it didn't hit the animals. Praise God. Well, then there was another tree right behind the coop that did fall on the coop. But the good news is it didn't bust the roof. But it did bust one side of the lean-to that he had built where they perch underneath there. But at least it's still workable for the rest of this until we can endure till the end. Because the chickens are not leaving the coop. They're staying inside. And that's their own choice. I mean, they could leave and go out and explore, but I guess they hear all the trees falling and stuff, and they're just staying indoors. Now, the sad thing is we don't have heat in there or anything, so we're just praying, God, look out for our little chickens, and especially the babies, you know. But Dennis is fortifying their food supply with the things they need to keep their body to endure, like cayenne pepper and stuff. You know, they tell you in the winter to give your chickens cayenne pepper and stuff, chili powder, because they don't have the thing that it burns them, so you can give them a lot of it, but it keeps their system warm. And so he's been doing a new type of system on how he feeds them based on a video he watched where he ferments their food. And it's been a game changer, man, because now we get about a dozen eggs a day. You know, it's the egg production has been really amazing. Now, we don't know what it's going to be during the storm. But, so the trees have fell there, and then they fell on his poor barn. Remember his barn that he built up? Piece by piece, but the good thing is it didn't crack the roof, so we're happy about that. But his other little barn, you know, the ice collapsed it, so he was shoveling snow out of there and everything yesterday, and cut up the trees. There were a lot of trees that fell that blocked his road access to back there, so he had to cut all that up with a chainsaw and carry it. And so there was a tree right behind our back porch, and it was the only tree left that could fall on the house and damage it. But we hadn't cut it down yet, so I saw that it was headed to fall, and I prayed. I said, Lord, will you please let this thing break up in pieces and not actually fall on the house? And do you know he did? It fell limb by limb and spared the house. So I'm like, thank you, Lord. I mean, it's the little things, you know. And so far, now Princess, let me give you a report on her. This is the funniest. This little girl is in Winter Wonderland. We had a bird feeder right outside the front porch, and I told Dennis, I said, we've got to put some feed in this bird feeder because these birds are coming for food. So he put it in there, and bam, here come all these birds, like 20 birds, you know. And so they scattered the food all around on the snow and the ice, and so we have a lot of birds, in other words. And Princess has been having a ball. You know, she chases them and runs out in the snow, and it is funny. She's like a kid wanting to be outside all the time to play with the birds. I'm like, we're like, no. But she's done good. She's been wanting to go with Dennis, you know, and he goes out in the back field and everything. Now, the thing is, this morning is the most dangerous day of all of them. So if y'all would pray for Dennis, because I ain't going out in it. Listen, we have at least 4 inches of solid ice. I mean, it got so cold last night, like 0 degrees. So it made it one complete sheet of ice. So dangerous is not even the word for it, you know. And so he's not going back to the chickens. You know, last night he put in enough food for them for a few days, and he's not going to go back up, try to make it up a hill. But at least, you know, he'll remain down here around the house, but just pray for him. We did watch a video where he could make some spikes on his shoes where he can break through it to kind of walk on it, but I'm telling you, so as far as the trees go, we do expect a whole lot more trees to fall. And our trees on our land down by the office, they're all gone. I mean, it looks like disaster zone back there. But the good thing is we have worked very hard for the first three years here, having this company randomly come and cut down trees, you know, because they have the truck that can pick it up with the arm and just move it away from the house, you know what I mean? So praise God we had all that work done, or it would be a real disaster. So we have relieved the house of any stress of the, you know, trees falling on it or the office, you know, so we're very happy about that. Now, another thing is our cedar trees. Oh, my world. You know, this land here is full of cedar. Well, cedar trees here in the winter are full of green leaves. You know, that is killing our cedar trees because the ice on them trees is weighing them down terribly, and they're busting in half and everything. And the other thing that's a cataclysmic factor in all this is the water levels in the trees. Because I told you guys that we found out, because we have so many cedars on the farm, that cedar trees, they suck up an absorbent amount of water. They're water thirsty or whatever, but that's why they like to be around ponds, because they just soak all that water up, you know. So we had it set in our mind we was going to cut down them cedars around it so it would stop, you know, taking our water, because we know that the water levels are going down and whatnot. But what we've noticed over the past year and a half is that our cedar trees have dried up. It's so sad. But we've noticed it on the farm, you know, by their leaves and how their bark looks and everything, that they are really thirsty. There's not enough water underground, in other words. And so they're already dead, is what I'm trying to tell you. So you take that with the ice load, you know. So the terrible thing is, you know, today is going to be the worst day, and we have, on Wednesday is supposed to be the better day, where it comes back up to like 35. And then we have like 35 the next day, and then 42 the next day. But how much it would melt, I don't know, because the nights are going to be in the teens and below. And then we have another storm coming on behind this one, another freeze. So it's like it's a 2-week danger zone, basically. But praise God, I mean, we're even able to, I just found out yesterday that I could put electricity on the router and the modem, and the fiber internet would still work. As long as the lines are still where it hasn't been pulled down from the lines. Because they're all up on the electric lines. But Dennis saw a tree down the road that was laying on them. So we called in and told them, so maybe they can remove that tree. But the point is, as long as we can, you know, when we have the generator, we're able to have, you know, internet as long as the lines are still available. But I'm enjoying it while I can and being able to be with you guys while I can. And then another thing is the generator that we have is propane and gas. So that's a blessing. So we're using propane right now, and we got lots of propane. So that's a blessing. We should be able to ride the storm out. Now, for me, I'm staying in the house. I ain't going out. You know, and then we got this wood. So we got the wood stove and the gas stove. And so that's the update on what's going on here. Dennis was really hurting last night. If y'all would just pray for him from the pain of lifting all the wood where he had to cut down them trees and stuff that was blocking the driveway. He's such a hard working man, you know, to be 67 now. But he takes really good care of us. He really loves us. And so he works really hard. And there's no way. He was supposed to go to Arkansas to paint my cousin's house. They hired him to paint, but he can't go now until all this is over. I thought to myself, what would I have done if he would be in Arkansas right now? You know, and me be stuck here with all this. There's no way. With all these animals, you know. But anyway, so I guess that's the report on everything that's going here so far. Papa, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, everybody. Hope everybody's keeping warm.
Well, we do have a couple of people on here from Tennessee, so you know they're going through what we're going through.
No, yeah, it's getting interesting. I guess the worst thing is all the trees that are going down. We got one right behind the house. It looks like it's half bowled over, hasn't broke yet. You know, there's all bent over. So.
He's saying.
I don't know. They say it's supposed to get colder, but I don't know. The sun's shining, so hopefully it will thaw them out a little bit before we get more cold and rain, I guess.
Yeah.
But.
Another good report is our neighbor brought his backhoe, and he backhoed our entire street. So he got all the trees out of the way and moved all the snow to the sides. And the bad thing is our driveway has got how tall?
Oh, it's four or 5 inches of ice. Ice and snow, and it's just hard as a rock. I mean, I don't know when that's going to thaw out.
Yeah. But what he did at the driveway, it looks like it's 3 or 4 foot tall.
Yeah, when he was cleaning off the road, you know, he goes along, well, then on the side of his bucket, you know, it always builds up on the side of the road. Well, that's what it's like on our driveway. And
so we ain't going nowhere.
Now it's just hard as, you know, hard as a rock, you know. I mean, you'd have to literally go out there with a big bar and chip it off like an igloo, you know. We'll probably be here for a while, not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Unless it thaws out a little bit, loosens it up, but I'm not going to go out there and pound it loose. I'll just hang tight. So.
Well, we do want you guys to know as well that we did pray for you really good this morning. You know, we're praying for you guys. We know a lot of you guys are going through the same thing we're going through. I mean, we even got Mississippi on here, Kimberly.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they got slammed pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But they say that a million people are without power in the South. A million. And 300,000 of that is in the state of Tennessee. So, I mean, that's a lot of people right now that are suffering. Now, the good thing is we are monitoring our elderly neighbors, but that guy that did the backhoe is also monitoring them. When he was out on the backhoe, he stopped at each house. Isn't that sweet? And he checked on the elderly neighbors to see how they're doing. So at least, you know, he can get around on his backhoe, which is really cool. Okay, Papa, I'll see. You got the remote?
I'm not leaving yet.
Oh, you're not leaving yet.
I should get my kombucha.
Oh, okay, yes, sir.
I got one bat. Well, two batches bottled.
He's making him some kombucha.
One's apple, pomegranate, ginger. The other one's banana, pineapple, ginger. That one's a new one.
Sounds good. You're getting creative, huh?
Yep. So I got them bottled. I just got to label them.
We're also making fermented garlic. Or is that what you call it?
Yeah, black garlic.
Black garlic. It's in a little
rice cooker.
Rice cooker. The only thing we have hooked up to the generator is this. We have
the fridge, the freezer.
Fridge.
And
freezer. Did we hook up that one? Okay.
Internet, just a little lamp, a fan.
Yeah. Just the basics.
I think that's it.
Yeah. And a fan so that I can have airflow in here with this heat. You know, this wood stove, praise God, is one of them Potbelly wood stoves, and it really puts out good heat. We tried to replace it last year because it's a real old one with a smaller one that was supposed to be more effective. It's not really a smart one, but it was kind of one because that's about all you can get now. That thing was a farce. We was like, what the world? We'll just put the old one back in here because this one kicks butt, man. You know, we slept good last night. Of course, I was in here most of the night, and then I did go back to the bedroom, which is in the back of the house. Our house is only 960 square foot. But that wood stove took care of the whole house. We was pretty comfortable back there in that bedroom. It was a little chilly, but not bad. You know what I mean? And so, another thing is on our front porch, Dennis, he's always practical, you know. And so, we put up hard plastic around the entire porch. 3/4 of it, so that we can see outside, but keep the elements off of our front porch, because that's my prayer closet. And that's really a way, and plus I have my sewing stuff out there, just to keep the elements off of us and stuff. And then on the entryway where you walk in, we put those plastic, I call them freezer strips, you know, that comes down in these strips. And that way it'll kind of block it, but then we can walk back and forth. And we had to do something to keep the chickens out because the chickens were coming on our front porch, you know, and pooping everywhere, and I didn't like that. So that kept the chickens out. It did the job. But now that we've had this storm happen, I'm like, man, that is the best ever. Such an advantage, because it's like a whole new addition to the house, because it keeps the ice, which is all over the plastic. It keeps the ice away from the front porch. It keeps the wind away from the house. So it protects us in here in the living room. I mean, it's really. So I recommend that for y'all. If you have a front porch, plastic it in. Not with cheesy plastic, but with this. I got it on Temu. You know, that stuff on there is so cheap. but it works. It has been very good. Because, like, our back porch, we don't have plastic on it, and it's pretty rough right now in this storm. But the front one is a game changer. And so that's all the report we have, I guess. It's been nice to have Princess with me. Come here, girl. She's my girl, and I like having her with me. You know, Dennis, he's outside all day. He's gone. Come here. Yesterday, I had such a hard time breathing. That's why I didn't get on there with you guys at church last night. I was pretty done. But I feel much better today. Okay, so this morning, though, I woke up and I have a word for you guys. Can you believe God would do that in the middle of a storm? Oh, wait, before I say this, I want to, while I'm recording, I've been documenting everything happening, you know, so that I can remember the miracles of what God did. Because, you know, I'm a writer anyway, so I always journal anyway. Somebody can take my journals in the future and see everything about it, you know. But anyway, let me look at some of my miracles here. One was how the tree broke in pieces. And then the next one was how it missed the chicken coop by a hair. You know, those are just things you just can't thank the Lord enough for. I was really sad to hear about Steve Wise. That was yesterday. His wife told me that he died. She didn't tell me how, but I researched a little bit and saw it was a heart attack. So I hate that he was so young, only like 62 years old. He died of a heart attack. He's from McAllen, Texas. But I was sad to hear that he was gone. The good thing is that on Dennis's white tent, where he had his ATVs and some of his equipment, the ice collapsed it. But at least he was able to recover it. And those now are tarps. So at least they have a protective cover on them for the rest of the storm this winter. So that's good. The generator is working great, which is a miracle, a wonderful praise report to the Lord. And so we're able to have a little bit of a comfortable living to at least be able, at least right now, to be able to have a little bit of internet. It's not good enough to go live or nothing because you know, the actual stuff is in the other building. So we just have a line ring, which we don't want much power in this house. Y'all hear what I'm saying? At least it's away from us. So, but it's good enough to where we can do research and watch the news and stuff. I heard from all three of my kids yesterday, and they're all doing well. And I'm so happy about it. They're all warm and cozy. Now, if y'all would pray for my daughter, she's got a cold. Let's see. Praise God, I lived through the night through the carbon monoxide poisoning. I am recovering. But we learned a big lesson through that. So we took care of our neighbors yesterday. We brought her some carrot cake, and yes, we are eating again, just to let y'all know. I mean, just not as much or nothing, but we are eating again. Another miracle was our neighbor that took the backhoe and cleared out our whole street and got the trees out of the road and stuff, so that's a blessing. Princess having a heyday with the birds. Okay, so that's it. All right, now, let's go ahead and get started with the word this morning. If y'all would turn in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. I mean, not 14, 12. March chapter 12. Now, I'm just going to tell you guys something. For some reason, God has had me deal with the covenants of the church. It's been something that, hey, would somebody text me and let me know if this fan in the background is bothering you? I just thought of that. Can y'all hear me pretty good, or should I turn the fan off before I start in the Word? We just like it because it gets the heat flowing from the wood stove to the back of the house. But, I mean, I can do without it for this. Okay. All right. Thank you, Darcy. So you can hear me just fine. All right. Okay, then. Well, let's go ahead and start with Mark chapter 12. Okay, now, the good thing about Mark chapter 12 is we hear a lot from Jesus himself. And Jesus is talking to a bunch of Jews, okay? And he is teaching them about the parable of the vineyard. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. Okay, so in God's words, basically he's saying, I came and made a garden. I made it perfect for the humans to take control and to manage my garden. That's what he's saying there. And at season, he sent to the husbandman, which means the people, the taking care of the garden, a servant, that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant. And at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and they killed him. They killed. And many others, beating some and killing some. Y'all ought to see the most beautiful birds I have on my front porch. Wow. Papa! You ought to see these birds on the front porch. They are so gorgeous. They're huge. Sometimes they come in through those strips, and they get stuck inside the plastic, and then they find their way out. But anyway, this is talking about the people that come in to the garden that God sent in to help them, and they rejected them, basically is what he's saying here. Okay, and then we notice in the next verse, in verse 6, thank you, Leslie. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, surely they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What do you guys think? Now, this is Jesus telling them, and they knew that they was talking about, that Jesus was talking about what they'd done to God. So Jesus is asking them, what do you guys say that the Lord of the vineyard should do in this case. He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. Now see, this is where the first covenant comes in and the second covenant. This is why we're going to be killed. Because of this incident. Now, and what shall there, okay, and you, have you not read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. And see, this is the sad thing about all of those Nara people, you know, that had partnered with them and sold the church out. That's really sad. But I do want to tell you guys this, talking about that, I have to say this. You know, Dennis and I had this conversation one day. Now, I've always complained, Lord, why don't I have help? I need help. I could be so much better, you know, yada, yada. And God dwindled me down to nothing. But now I see why. Because, and I'm not making excuses for these people, please hear me. But these people that have millions of dollars, let's say Turning Point or, you know, some big Christian organization. Can you imagine the thought processes they had when the COVID first started? Picture this, okay? You're all so excited. Let's just step in their shoes a minute. You're so excited you got a Christian president because the leaders from TBN and all this that everybody trusted at that time, we're talking early 2020, and I'm not trying to get political on a call, but I'm just giving an example. Okay, so in early 2020, you've got all these Christians that have been invited to the White House by Paula White and now have a seat at the table with the President of the United States, who Paula told everybody just got saved back in April the year before. I remember the exact date because I was on a 40-day prayer call with prophets across this country. So, yeah, we knew, and this is what we believed at the time. So I do know that's a fact. So if all these other ones out here, you know, believed it as well, they're thinking that this man is the answer to the prayers. We just come out of Obama, Hillary, you know, and then all of his promises of locking her up and getting rid of Obamacare, you know, all the things we wanted. But anyway, so now they've got all these million-dollar organizations with thousands of employees that rely upon them with families. And, I mean, so much to consider when you're having to deal with a situation such as the pandemic. Okay, so then when Trump gets started and he acts like he is so innocent in this and he's just having to go along with the world situation because it's a global pandemic. So the church is still trusting him. And then he does the Open Up America Again plan. And then he does it without the influence of the church. And then 4 months later, he does the 1776 commission and doesn't ask for the church's input. You know, he began to leave. He abandoned the church once he got them. But the church doesn't know it. And so now you got all these leaders with all this responsibility and all these families depending on them to be legit, you know, and are they just going to up and look at all these people and say, I don't really know what's in the vaccine, but, you know, we're not going to participate in this, you know. This is why they went with it, is my point. You know, strong arming is not even the word for it. You know, what them people went through, they could have made the choice, yes. But imagine if they would have said, no, We do not want to partner with this agenda. We don't want any of you guys to take it. We're just going to believe, God, that He's a healing God, and we're going to trust Him. So if we're going to be a part of something that tries to tell us that we have to believe in science and we have to leave our God and not pray and everything, we're just not going to do that. So we're out. Okay, so if they would have made that decision back in the first of 2020, can you imagine the fallout of all them people that depended on them for provision and all of the things they had going on that was already scheduled? I mean, I'm thankful I didn't have that, is my point. Because the level of how far do you go with what you believe, what sources are you believing, and plus all of the other propaganda about the rapture and the false belief in that and their doctrine. So if, now I'm just putting it in their eyes, if my belief is right about the pre-tribulation rapture, this cannot be the mark. It just cannot be. So if it's not the mark of the beast, I'm going to keep going. Now, I mean, think about what these people thought of, you know. It's not the mark of the beast. Quit barking at that bird. You want that bird. I know you. So if it's not the mark of the beast, if the rapture hasn't happened and we're all still here, then we're good. Because the Lord ain't going to let anything bad happen to us. I mean, can you imagine what these people were thinking? And why ruin all these other people's lives when we've been teaching all this time that the rapture is going to happen before tribulation and before the mark of the beast? So, you know, if Trump's a Christian, we're just going to trust Trump. And so this is why they went where they are at. And I mean, it's sad for them, no doubt. You know, I don't know. The point is, I feel sorry for them in a way because they were so deceived. I remember when God sent me across the country beginning in 2013. And he told me, he said, no radio, no television, nothing. I want you to listen only to the people I send you to and me. So the first woman I went to, because they were all women and head pastors, except there was one man, actually two men, Dr. Morris and this other guy. But anyway, the first one I went to was this woman, and she was telling me that the pre-trib rapture was not true. And let me tell you something. I felt this thing rise up inside of me like, because it does something. Something about that doctrine, man. Stronghold's not even the word for it. Because even my mother, when God started revealing to me and opening my eyes that that was a false doctrine, my mother, when I tried to tell her that this is what I feel like God is showing me, she got so mad at me, and she goes, I will disown you if you ever leave that doctrine. That's what she said. But the whole time I was with that woman, 3 months, and she was trying to show me scripture and all, you know, that this was not a real doctrine, I'm telling you, the stronghold that was on me could not receive it. So it was about 6 months later. And I was just alone with the Lord, and I was praying and reading the Word, and He showed me Matthew 24. And then when I read it alone with just the Holy Spirit, you know, He really showed me, He said, that doctrine is not true. Because it said, I mean, Matthew 24 is plain as day. You know, about what's going to happen. So I was like, wow. I cried and cried to the Lord. I'm like, how many people in the church are deceived? And that was back in 2014. And I ended up in the White House in 2018. So can you imagine? And this was after I had went across the country on 3 national tours, been in all these hundreds of churches, and interviewed all these people, and then get up there and to see this thing. Of course, I really believe in my heart that I got to see our country the last year it existed, before the reset happened in 2020. But then to see how that doctrine took them out, man, it took them out. Because that's why they participated in what they participated in. See? But God, in 2013, pulled my mind out of that. You see what I mean? Anyway, let's continue. Okay, so, as we have stated, Jesus talking to these Jews in verse 1 through 5, he was explaining about the vineyard that, you know, I've sent all these people to you guys and you have treated them terribly. You know, I trusted you with this garden. But look what he says in verse 6. He goes, having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, surely they will reverence my son. But these husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. Now think about that, because this is the first covenant. This is where the first covenant ended. The law. Because they wanted the inheritance. They wanted the garden type of deal. And he took them, verse 8, and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman, and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Okay, now, they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the people, because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. They knew who he was talking to. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians, and to catch him in his words. So they went off and knew that he was blasting them, but they come back to trap him. Okay? And when he knew that they were coming, he said unto him, Master, we know that you are true and care for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Okay, now, before we get into the Caesar deal, I want to read you some notes I wrote this morning as I was reading. Okay, when Jesus spoke about the vineyard, he was talking to the Jews. Verse 25 is where the Jews asked him a question. This is the one we're at now. Where they are trying to trap him about who has access to heaven. Now remember, Jesus had just pointed out to them that God created a garden for them, but they misused his garden. Okay? So then they go off knowing that he got them, and then they come back with a way to try to trap him. And that's what this question is that we're about to read. Okay, so now let's read this. This is the question they're trying to trap him in. Master, we know that you're true and care for no man. In other words, you do not regard one man over another. For you regard us not the person man, there you go, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why are you tempting me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it and said unto him, who is this image and superscription? And they said, Caesar. So Jesus answered, render to Caesar what's due to Caesar, and to God the things that are God's, which is, we obey the laws. This is why I don't believe people going sovereign. I'm going sovereign. I'm going to leave the United States law, and I'm going to go over to The Hague in Switzerland. And I'm going to become a part of Switzerland's laws. But I want to live in America, you know, and I don't want your driver's license. I don't want your bank account. But I want to drive on your roads, and I want to do all this stuff with all everything you have to offer here. So I tell these people, unless you want to live in a cave, you have to be a citizen of the United States. I mean, you're in their territory, people. I mean, it's goofy what they're trying to sell these people. And they're, some of these people, they're asking them $10,000 just to change their sovereignty, because they tell them, you will be able to change your sovereignty and you will not have to pay taxes. You won't have to. If they pull you over, you can just flip out your card and say, I'm not even a citizen here. I'm my own sovereignty. And they have got people convinced of that. But it's a lie and a trap from the pits of hell. Because, and I've told you guys this, the FBI considers these people terrorists. Because you, what you're doing is you are plotting against our own country, not saying our country's, you know, right about everything, yada yada, but you want to live in our country and you want to participate in our things, but you don't want to go by our rules. And that's what Jesus is saying. Pay unto Caesar what's due to Caesar. If you have to, like for instance, when God sent me across the country in my 2017 tour, he told me, bring all your paperwork. I want you to bring the paperwork of your ministry. I want you to bring your birth certificate, your passport, and your ministerial licensing, you know, my degrees. And I'm like, what a weird request. But being on the road 6 months, do you know that I had to use about every bit of it to prove to people my status and my, what I'm saying is true? And I remember when I got a hotel, because I only had $50 when I had to go to Niagara Falls, and I had no idea that it was in Canada. The version that I had was over in Canada. And so I had to drive to the Canadian border, and they're like, where's your passport, you know? They wanted to see all that paperwork. They wanted to see my ministerial license. And I'm telling them I'm a traveling minister. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? God knew all that. I am a citizen of the United States. I have to go by their laws. You know, this is why I tell all you guys too. You better make sure that your address on your driver's license is current. Because when they do these lockdowns, that's where you're going. And we saw that over in not Switzerland, not Argentina, Australia. See, Australia is one of those countries that is being used for lockdown scenarios. You know, each country is used for different aspects of the global picture. They have one of the biggest lockdown facilities in the world for quarantines. So we need to pay attention to what they're doing over there. And one of them was your driver's license. When you pulled up to one of their stops, their checkpoints, whatever's on that license is where you're going. And so the only way really for people to not be in this world and to be off the grid is for you to live in a cave or somewhere where it's under somebody else's name and you're not on the roll. Really is the only way. Because and to not have a cell phone, not ever get on the computer, don't have a driver's license or any of that kind of stuff. Because you can be found that way. If you wanted to not be found, you'd have to get rid of all electronics and not have your name on the tax records. I mean, there's a lot to consider here. So if you really want to be sovereign, sucker, you know, go off to a cave. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to not have to answer to our government. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So, not saying we have to go along with all of our government's shenanigans, you know. But to a point, we have to render under Caesar what's due to Caesar's, if that makes any sense. All right, let's continue in the word here. Okay, but look what they say here. This is where they're trying to trap him. Then came, this verse 18, then came unto him the Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection. So they don't believe in Jesus, period. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote to us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up the seed to his brother. Now there were seven brothers, though. And the first one took the wife and died and left no seed. And the second one took her and died, and neither left he any seed. Then the third as well. And the seven had her and left no seed. Lest of all the women died also. So in other words, who's the heir? This is a trap. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Okay, so here we go. They're asking Jesus, because you know what they're talking about. It's the Jewish identity. It's the Jewish first covenant. This is what they're talking about. Because how, if you're going to switch, what they're saying to Jesus is, this is what I got out of it anyway. If you take the covenant away from the Jews, because you say you have the better covenant, then what's going to happen when they all go to heaven? Who's going to have the rights to the covenant? Who's going to have the rights to heaven? Because if you picture it from the way he's wording it, the first husband is the first heir. Like Ishmael, born of the flesh. This husband, born of the flesh, you know, he's the first one. But since then, she's had many, okay? But then she dies. Who is going to be going up there with her? Now, Jesus, look how he answers him. Do you not therefore err, this verse 24? Because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, they that rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spoke to him and said, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Yes. Therefore, you greatly err. Okay, now, let's change this in another vernacular here. Having to do with the two covenants. Okay? So, what he's really saying here is, and I'm going to read you what my notes said this morning. Okay, when the Jews asked him and questioning to trap him, who has access to heaven, the first husbandman is the Jews, for example. Jesus explained that when they go to heaven, there is no difference. And see, this is why we're going to be killed. It's the same as the covenant of Jesus. What is the covenant of Jesus? The second covenant. What is it? It's Jesus has opened the door. He is the door. So thus, there is no one better than anyone else. No husbandman is better than any other husbandman. That's the key. There's no Jew, Gentile, male, female. Bam! In your face, devil! Everybody is the same. And this is what the Jews and the Sadducees and the Pharisees could not stand. Of how Jesus could come and say that he is God. And that he has the authority to override the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Who are living their lives according to the law. And then Jesus is going to come in there and override you all. This is how they're feeling, see. So, when he says here, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Bam. I'm the God of all. I am the God that opens the door to all. There is no respecter of persons. Jesus, his blood, this is why his blood as the perfect lamb is so perfect. Because he completely covered all of humanity. Isn't that beautiful? And one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, but what's the first commandment of all? Because now they're going back to the law. See, this is all about the law. This is about the covenants that Jesus is revealing to him, that he is coming to tear down the temple. He's coming to bring a new covenant. So Jesus answers them right here, bam. He says, and Jesus answered them, verse 29, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Bam. That's important to know because Jesus is Lord and God is Lord. They're one. They're just three different persons, but they're one. Just like we are one. Okay. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and with all your strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then look what he says right here. There is none other commandment greater than these. Bam. The second covenant right there just overrode the first covenant. And you know what's really something about all this? It's in the next chapter in verse 13, Jesus explains to all of them that he's going to tear down the temple. These whole three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, is about the second covenant that is coming in. Why is that? Because when you flip over, let me flip my Bible over here. When you flip over to chapter 14, that's where he goes into it of the Passover, where he talks to his disciples and he seals the deal. Remember I showed you in a week or so ago, on one of these prayer calls about how that Passover was the actual covenant beginning date. That was the seal of the deal right there. But so this is just a couple of chapters before that. So right here he's explaining it to the Jews. Y'all need to understand that by me coming, It all goes above the law. See, this is the key of what the second covenant has done. Is he has made it of the heart. The heart. Why? Because now the temple goes from outside a shell to where he comes inside us in the heart. It's all about the heart now. And now we have the Holy Spirit, which Jesus, this is how you know there are three distinct persons, which is what the oneness Pentecostal does not believe type of deal. They believe Jesus is only Jesus, that there's not three distinct beings as one. But why would Jesus sit on the right hand of the Father if he wasn't separate? And why would God say, I'm sending Jesus, my son, to infer that he is something separate from him? And the fact that Jesus told his disciples, listen, I have to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. If Jesus was the Holy Spirit, why would Jesus do that? It makes no sense. It's all because, like I explained to you guys about the Bible, the whole Bible is one book. And it shows how God is in three distinct persons as one. Just like we are. I am a body, which is made out of the flesh, which is from the earth, is going to die and go back to the earth of which gave it. The spirit that makes up a part of me is what woos me to God. This came from God. And this spirit is your conscience, okay? This conscience is going to go back to God of whom gave it. But the soul, which is in the middle, is what is going to go to heaven or hell. It is what is going to be judged. Why? Because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And these three are always at battle on whether they're going to go towards the flesh of your natural understanding and your earthly identity and all of the things of naturalness, okay? Versus the spirit, which is always faith. So it's battling, do I go by faith or do I go by the natural? And see, this is where a lot of the battle is. And so the soul is always having to make decisions. Which way am I going to go, you know? It's kind of like you have a devil on one shoulder and you have an angel on the other. And they're trying to tell you which way to go all the time. You know, that soul has to overcome until the end. It's not how you begin the race. It's how you finish. It's overcomers which are going to go into heaven. Okay. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You endured until the end. And that's like, you know, a lot of us that know a lot of the things that the beast has in store for people that are not going to go in this system type of deal. And, you know, you think about that and weigh the temporal persecutions versus eternal life, you know. Can you go through this small little bit of amount of time and suffer in order to be with him throughout eternity forever and ever 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 and ever? I mean, there's no ending to the time. But some people, and this is so sad, cannot even get over their self. Their self-loathing is nothing but a god unto yourself. Yourself, god to yourself. Where you can't suffer your face to go through suffering. That means that you have become a god unto yourself because you will not allow God to use your temple in any way that he wants to. It's like some people, you know, they come to a point and they say, you can have me up to here. But I just can't let you go that far, you know. I mean, what if all these other ones would have done that over the years, you know? So the point is that we live by the conscience. We live by the spirit. The spirit will be with us over there. Whatever this picture is that's on the other side of this, he's going to be with us today, tomorrow, and the next day, as long as we keep our faith. But when the person dies, the body goes back to the earth, because that's the only reason we have any right to be here, is because we came through a matrix into a human body. It's a plant. But when that plant grows up and becomes a tree and then decides which way this tree is going to go in this earth time period that it's here, when this tree falls over, like these trees here that are weighed down by the ice, when their time is done, then the soul, the one that chooses which way it's going to go, is going to answer for those decisions. And then that soul is going to have to reap the consequences of those decisions. And so we're a three-part being, just like God is. We're created in his image. And if you look at it in that aspect, okay, the spirit of a human is God the Father. The soul is like the Holy Spirit. It's the teacher. And then Jesus is the body. It's the face that you see. But they're three in one. When you see God, they're one. Okay, so let's go back here. Let's see. Okay. Let's go to verse 32. Because Jesus just told them of the two commandments that override all other commandments. Okay? And the scribe said to him, "Well, Master, you have said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but him. And to love him with all your heart." Now, I just got to pause there, because I've told you guys about, I use Dennis a lot just because of the revelations that God gave me about marriage and the mystery of Jesus and his bride. You know, and I've told you about the blots in the heart. That's a real thing. So when you love somebody purely, there's devotion is not even the word for it. It's a, you know, there's no question of my allegiance to you. You know what I mean? And that's what I see here with all your heart. You know, it's like you have me and everything in my being. All my decisions that I'm making is based on what I believe in you. Y'all hear what I mean? With God and with all understanding. The way that I understand God and my existence here on the earth, with all my understanding and with all the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Because, let me tell you, we could choose to go back to the bar. We could choose to pick up cigarettes and to grab our bottles of wine. I mean, we could choose, you know, to be a part of this worldly system and enjoy the benefits thereof. You know what I mean? I mean, I, especially me being the techie person, I would be all up in this AI thing. Are you kidding? I have looked for something like that for years. Now they're offering it to me where I could take this AI and it could literally be my assistant that I have been longing for so long. I could jump on that like a New York minute. Yes, I could. And really bump things up. But I could even get in crypto, man. I could just bust it out with crypto and make a lot of money. Go to all these meetings, meet all these people, and go up the ladder. Yes, I could. Oh, I could just go out here and just interview all these ministers that are all up in this agenda and then open up doors wide. Yes, I could. There's a lot of things you could do. But because you believe and have the understanding of what you do, about who God really is, about the holiness of God, and what we can and cannot touch, and it rules our entire life, Because a lot of us have lost family members, have we not? We have lost family members, we have lost relationships, and we have lost jobs. And, you know, I mean, it's what we believe and are living for because of our understanding has cost us everything. Because we really believe in our heart that sooner, very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. We know that all this stuff here is just temporary. I mean, it's just a fleeting moment and all this stuff will be gone. And what is our real heart's desire? Our real heart's desire is to please God. Because look what Jesus says right here in verse 34. Wait a minute, let's go back to 33. Where he says, you love him with all your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and with all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself is more than the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices. Isn't that something? Loving your neighbor, what a challenge that is. Sometimes because of our neighbors and the things that's been going on with being elderly, always needing something, you know what I mean? Sometimes Dennis is like, you know, because he's so tired. Or me, you know, we're just so much going on, and, you know, but you love them regardless. And you still do it when you feel like there's nothing left to give. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Because you love your neighbors as yourself. Well, now the woman's husband died. It's over. And we talked about it the other day, and she's like, because, you know, it was 3 years we helped her. So, you know, at the end, everybody was just wore out. But she told me, she said, I just want to thank you guys so much for being there for us. I just don't know if I could have done it without you, you know. But when we first met them, we told them, we know that you're elderly and we are your neighbors and we have a lot of strength left in us, you know, so we want to be there. And we kept our word till he died. But, you know, now she's a widow, so now you got a whole nother paradigm, you know, because the Bible says we're to take care of the widows. And so we make sure, you know, that she's got stuff, like we brought her 2 cords yesterday for her generator, you know, type of deal. Because for one thing, we don't know how long we're going to be without lights. I mean, one guy even said a month. I mean, so could you imagine being in conditions like this for a month? And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Can you believe that he understood so much of what Jesus was trying to say about loving your neighbor and loving God? And no man after that does ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said while he taught in the temple, how you say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. See, there's another, sit on my right hand. David therefore himself called him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, there shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all them that have cast into the treasury. For all of them did cast in their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So there you go. Let me just refresh a few things before I end this morning. There are two covenants. The first covenant, which was the law in the Old Testament, and the new covenant, of which Jesus is stressing here before he dies, to the Jews. And he says that two commandments override all the other ones. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as you do yourself. There is no other commandment that's greater than those two. But these overrode the old covenant. In verse 33, explains that it's all about the heart now. And that's what Jesus came to do, was to take it from the law to the heart. Isn't that something? So let me pray for everybody. Lord, I just pray for the bride that she understands, Lord, what that covenant is today. The preciousness of what you brought to mankind and opened up the door that we all have access to God. We thank you, Lord, that we recognize this morning the sacrifice that you made for your people, Lord. And we accept that sacrifice. We accept this covenant, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord. And we do love you with all of our mind, our heart, and our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.